Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You see, that came up were Shanahan's clock management at the end of the first half and the fourth and one call. Were those two things that at least popped up on your radar?
The fourth and one call is what I had a big problem with. The clock management at the end of the first half, I think people are making way too big of a deal out of, because just the way they were in some long down situations and the way that game was going, it wasn't decided by what happened at the end of the first half. That was just a back and forth match, and it was outstanding. And then to have it come down to fourth down plays, and when you're fourth and one and you're running for almost 200 yards, 6 yards a clip, draining, you're in the shotgun, so there's no play action threat. I didn't like the call. But, you know, in Shanahan's defense now looking back on it, what I will say is he trusted his gut. That's what he wanted to do. And afterwards, he stuck by it. And as a coach, you got to live with the consequences of what your gut decision was rather than cover your own butt. And I thought that's what he did okay. I mean, I don't think this was a poison pill for their Super Bowl path. You know, this is he's an excellent play caller. And people are going to question it. Obviously, when you go 28, blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, that's always going to be your tag, right? You're too aggressive. But he's really creative. I mean, he was creative on that fourth down on the first series, and it got him a touchdown. I just didn't like the call in that situation when it's fourth and one, and you're getting close into the red zone where you might be able to get the points and pull off. I mean, it was a tremendous game, and losing by 3 points to the AFC leader, there's no shame in that. I didn't get the sense in the locker room that guys were too upset, but I also didn't get the sense that they were content with it. You know, that's some people were asking if it was a fun game, if they were happy about it. I didn't. You know, these guys, they just played a really hard-fought game against one of the top teams. And this next game is going to loom bigger for their playoff picture going into New Orleans with, you know, the NFC seeds at stake.
Yeah, Cam, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. You know, a lot of people are focused on this next showdown, which is 4 weeks away with the Hawks, but you got three in between. Tough one this Sunday. I was telling the fellas here, I was watching Drew Brees on Thanksgiving night, and it seems like that offense is not throwing the ball down the field every other play. What problems do they possess? And a big question, is Richard Sherman going to be available?
That's a question, because Sherman, you know, he hurt his knee, sprained his knee. He plays through a lot of injuries, and this is a game they're going to need him with Drew Brees out there. You got Michael Thomas, possibly the best receiver in the league. I think he is the best receiver in the league. He or Hopkins. I like both of those guys. And then, you know, Mosley hasn't played much the last couple weeks. Witherspoon's back, so it's not as if they're going to be just terrible at cornerback, but, you know, Drew Brees is just a master of finding the mismatches, and I think he's going to air it out a little bit more than Lamar Jackson did last week.
I just wonder how this pass rush will get to Drew Brees, Cam, because last week, and they were confused, man. Bosa was, you know, he was dizzy trying to chase around Lamar Jackson, whether he's giving it to Ingram or pulling it out and running outside. Can this pass rush get back to doing what it's doing, and what's the status of Dee Ford? How can he help this pass rush going into this big game in the Superdome?
Well, I think that's going to be one of the benefits. As long as he looks okay in practice this week, I think he's going to be ready. And, you know, he's not an every-down player. He's a third-down pass rush specialist. And we all saw what they did the first half of that season together. That front four of Ford and both on the edges and Armstead and Buckner inside. And it's the best pass rush they've had in a long, long time. And you think back when this team came to New Orleans in 2013 and they were, you know, the defending Super Bowl or NFC champion. And Ahmad Brooks sacked Drew Brees. It was a strip sack, and the officials didn't like how his arm got up in Drew Brees' neck, so they nullified the sack. The Saints went on and won, and the Niners ended up going to the wild card of the
12-14.
Yeah. You know, and that is the exact scenario that the Niners want to avoid this time. They do not want to be the 12-4, 13-3 wild card, and that's why they got to get to Drew Brees. That's obviously the biggest threat. When he went out with that hand injury a couple months ago, I said, wow, everything's lining up just perfectly for the Niners, but he's back and the Saints are back.
Kim, we're talking a little bit about the mobile quarterbacks in the NFL, and if you want to throw Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, people seem to be saying, look, the 49ers have a little problem with mobile quarterbacks as opposed to guys who stand in the pocket. A, how big of a problem is that? And B, is there a team in the NFL that would rather see a mobile quarterback than one that stands in the pocket? It would seem to me like every team that plays against those quarterbacks facing the same disadvantage.
I think last year probably would have been a good time for them to face the mobile quarterback because they didn't have a good pass rush. Mm. So all these other guys can get involved in it. It's going to be an issue when they get back to Russell Wilson in week 17 and if they get in the playoffs. You know, facing Lamar Jackson is just a different, you know, he is a runner. He seeks out contact. He's incredibly elusive. The Niners bit so much on his zone reads. I was really surprised throughout the game, and it wasn't just one guy. There was about five guys that were playing the edge, and they would suck in rather than go straight for Lamar Jackson and hit him. And I just don't understand what they were practicing. I know it's hard to replicate in scout team, but you know, the Saints have with that Taysom Hill guy that's going to probably get involved too. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints tried to dupe them a couple times.
When you look at the state of the NFC, I know all the talk, and rightfully so, it's Seattle, it's San Francisco, Cam, but I was just telling the fellas, I think the Niners are better or as good, and we saw last week, as any team in the NFL. Am I wrong with that assessment?
I mean, it's not as if anybody's 16-0, right? I mean, this is a very good football team, and a lot of the NFL is if you get hot and if you avoid injuries, and this team got hot. They've been getting hit by the injury bug the last few games. So that's what concerns me a little bit. I mean, Jaquaski Tartt hurt his ribs, and he might not play. But Marcel Harris, that guy comes in and makes one of the best plays of the year on defense to strip Lamar Jackson of the ball, right? So that's the key with any good team is you have your backup replacing the injured players, and they're doing well. They've done that all throughout the year, whether it's somebody filling in for Juszczyk or Staley. You know, Kittle for a couple games there, and Rostwelly did all right. That's the mark of a really good team. And it's not just whether you have great depth, it's how that depth is coached up. So it's also a credit to the coaches.
Cam, you brought up George Kittle for a second there, and I know that was the second game back against Baltimore. He didn't get a lot of targets in that game. I'm not sure if there was great coverage. Haven't watched the coach's film yet, but it seemed like he wasn't really involved in a passing game plan. As a run blocker, he was stellar, freeing up Raheem Mostert a few times there against Baltimore. But where's George Kittle at? Where are they at with George Kittle? Obviously, he's probably not 100%, but where's he at in terms of the game plan and the passing game? Because they still need George Kittle. He is that one game breaker in the offense.
He is. They know that, and defenses know it. So they're going to crowd him and make sure he's covered. But this last game against Baltimore, his job number one was run blocking. And Kyle Shanahan was just so enamored with what a great job Kittle did as a run blocker against Baltimore. And that's how George measures himself. He loves being a run blocker and pushing guys out of the way. So he had two catches, I think, for 18 yards that game. They were trying to throw to him on the fourth and one. He looked covered over the middle. But, you know, that's obviously, you know, the Niners know that they want to get George Kittle involved and get him in the open field and create the mismatches. And so he can do the yards after the catch. That's what he was so dominant at last year. He doesn't have the yards this year. Health-wise, I think he's okay. So I think, you know, take those couple games off, I think really refreshed him for this. It's going to be a really pivotal stretch run here.
Cam, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
Enjoy Florida.
Okay, I got 202 to the center of the green, Matt. What do I hit? A 5-iron maybe? Maybe try to knock it down to a 6?
You're different than me. I would use my driving iron. Wow. For 202. Wow. Yeah, 202. Wow. Is it I need my driving iron there, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. All right. Cam Inman.
Damn, Snyder, you're gone. Can't give him the
think
tips,
he's dry golfing.
He's better than me. Cam's good.
Oh, you've seen
him. Played with him before?
No, I haven't, but I just, look, have you ever seen Cam Inman?
Oh, he's ripped.
Yeah. Have you seen him?
He's in shape. He's in great shape.
Yeah, okay. But
I hear you,
Sonny. He's actually not that ripped, but
like it's
just look at him.
Give a point.
He looks like
a country club guy. You know what I mean? He looks like he grew up with a
think he's dry golfing or he's got something in the cooler?
I'd like to. I think he's probably drinking because he's a beer guy. He likes craft beer too.
He does like it. Great Instagram account, 49ers.com Cam. I'm sure you can see it there.
So I'm looking at the. You know what I'm fixated on is the Minnesota Vikings drive at the end of the second quarter.
No horn today. They blew
it.
Yeah,
we hadn't heard from our
Shaka,
guys.
Shaka and Berkeley. Oh, he's depressed right now.
He was on my couch last
Shame on us for thinking Minnesota could win a big football game.
No, it's not.
Minnesota's up 14-0, 14-10. And they get the ball first and 10 at their own 25 with 55 seconds. Sounds like a dilemma, right? Only for the 49ers. 9-yard run gets him to the 30. First of all, pass incomplete. Second and 10. 9-yard run. Now they're at third and one. They get the yard to get to the 35. There's 26 seconds left. It should be over, right? Pass incomplete. Timeout. Or not timeout. Time stops with 22. Then they get a 15-yard pass to Dalvin Cook. Gets him to midfield.
All right.
With 22. Then Cousins hits Kyle Rudolph for 11 with 12 seconds to go. It gets him to the 39. Nice 10-yard pass to Diggs. Gets him to the 29. Boom, 46-yard field goal going in. They got to midfield, thought they still had time to make some plays. If they throw an interception, or I'm sorry, if they throw it incomplete, one of those last three or four, then you don't score.
That's how you run a two-minute drill. Yep. I mean, take notes, Kyle.
Cam said that had no effect on the outcome of the game, though. I know.
I don't think he meant no effect. He thought there's plenty that happened after that, which
there's no doubt.
I agree with him.
But the fact is, they left meat on the bone. They left food on the table, Guru. Come on, man. You can't do that. You can't do that, especially in big games against Baltimore either, man. That was I can't forgive Kyle for that. He deserves to get criticism for the way they handled that two-minute situation.
And it's bringing back up his past transgressions when he wasn't even head coach. is it valid in this new world, Steiny?
The Jackals, baby. The Jackals.
Monday Night Football.
I mean, I don't need to go back to the Super Bowl. Listen, I'm not ripping Kyle Shanahan. Right. But the bottom line is, in their two losses, he was a factor. He was a factor negatively when it comes to clock management and play, and I don't want to say play calling because he is a great play caller, but in their two losses he had a hand in both of them. Let's go to Al in Oakland. He likes where the Niners are at. He probably thinks we're overreacting. What's going on, Al? How are you, man?
What's going on, guys? Hey, so basically what I want to say is I would rather be in this position at 10-2 finishing the season with momentum heading into the playoffs, than to be 16-0 with no momentum and not, like, basically no momentum and just being 16-0.
All right, hey, Al, real quick, I got to be a devil's advocate. How do you go 16-0 and not have momentum going into the playoffs?
Well, you learn a lot from losses, you know? And I think that these two losses, they've learned a lot.
That's fair.
To help them in the playoffs.
That's fair. Go ahead.
All right?
Yeah. No, that's it?
That's pretty much it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, there's no doubt if they play the Ravens in the Super Bowl, they're loving playing that game.
Yeah.
Last Sunday. There's no, but listen, you can argue that a dry field helps Baltimore more.
Yeah. Right.
I've actually heard the opposite. Whatever. Let's
Terrell
give it,
Owens
let's
said
let's
that
give
last
it to them. Let's say if these two teams meet again and it's a dry field, that's an advantage for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But under no circumstances did the fact that they played a game work against the Niners. There's no way that works against the Niners.
Walking in with Ian Williams, who joined Jolo and Dibs this morning, or Jolo and Coles, Joe Dibs and Coles, I should get that right. Lowe was out sick. Walking in with Ian Williams, he said the same thing. He goes,
come at me, bro.
sorry. But, Ian was saying it no doubt will help the 49ers if they meet them again. And we've been talking about that for a couple weeks now. Just seeing that offense once, like
no
now
doubt.
Bosa, who was so confused in that game, and Armstead, we saw him hit the running back a couple times. And it's like, wait, Lamar Jackson's on the hash marks going down the sidelines. You know, it's going to help, though, because they're natural-born pass rushers. Now they're like, okay, we know how to play this out. We know the tendencies. You pick up on some certain things in that game against Baltimore. But, hell, Baltimore can adjust, too. Craig Roman's no dummy, man. They'll have 2 weeks to prepare if that happens.
Now, words do matter, Steiny, and it sounds like when Cam said Kyle kind of stuck to his guns about the – You know, the decision making and the time.
I didn't like
that. Because sometimes, Bonte, you got to.
I don't like him. Well, I like Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, because people can't tell the difference. But you know what I'm saying? Admit your error a little. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I could have looked at. But to say, I'll do the same.
Coaches don't do that. Coaches don't do that.
The good ones do, though.
Belichick don't say anything. You see his press conferences.
Even in his heyday, he'll admit when he messed up.
What Cam said was that, you know, what I kind of like is Kyle liked the call, and he did. And that's, but I look at it as a negative because, well, I mean, we might be talking about different things. But what I said yesterday was the problem I have with Kyle Shanahan is it doesn't feel like it's enough for him to win. He's got to win on his terms. If you want to call it being a little too cute, you can call it being too cute. If you want to say he reverts to what he really wants, which is to be overly clever sometimes, mm-hmm. I think that's fair. So no, I don't look at that as a strength. I think a great coach, if you can run a dive 28 times a game,
right,
and they're going to give you five a pop, you just do it.
Yeah.
It just feels like he always wants to. He doesn't want to just win. He's got to put his
style
imprint on the game in some way.
Is it style point, Stiney Goo?
Or
I think it's just what he
look at me.
Who he is?
Wow.
I mean, he is. You know, I also think there's this rep about him that he's this great play call, greatest play call, one of the best in a league by himself. Well, you start believing that. You start thinking
and
you can call any play.
As much.
And that's what worries me about the Saints because Sean Payton is hearing all that.
Oh, no doubt.
Kyle Shanahan's been the head coach for 3 years. I've been down here in the bayou. Yeah. I've led this organization to a Super Bowl, and this guy's the greatest play caller.
Should have went to two.
The one thing about these offensive coordinators, man, they may have the biggest egos on the coaching staff. The biggest egos on the coaching staff. Now, you'll laugh at me because Belichick is a D guy, but you look at all these hotshot offensive coordinators. They try to show off. You know, they want to throw the ball 40 times a game. They want to run all these exotic plays, and they get too cute at times.
Am I wrong? Because I heard one of you two mention this yesterday. Mostert he averaged 7 yards a carry. He got the ball 19. Could we make an argument he should have got it 40? Or 35, or did one of you two say he's not built for that? But the guy I saw running yesterday, Sunday, he could have six more.
Well, Coleman only got, five, six carries?
Yeah, five.
Sunday.
Coleman got
five
carries,
for
6 yards. But
five
I'm talking about
six.
Mostert.
Right.
Why wouldn't you keep gashing him?
Yeah, they were. You got to have some balance. You got to have some balance, and that's what makes the 49ers special. I didn't think they got away from the running game. One carry that probably should have gone to them is the tight end sweep play to George Kittle.
Yeah,
I thought it was the wrong play. It was one of those situations,
yeah.
Steiny, where the Niners are moving the ball, and then all of a sudden Shanahan, let me go on my bag of tricks here and give the ball to George Kittle on a sweep.
Forget when conventional wisdom, I'm going to give it to Kittle.
Right, and you lose 3-4 yards on that play, and all of a sudden you're playing behind it down. So Shanahan's got to clean some things up. He's not a perfect coach.
And here's the other thing I was thinking is, and I lost my train of thought, of course. Let me think.
My bad.
Yeah, no, keep talking. Just
go ahead.
Talk amongst yourself.
He's good at it.
Talk.
You know why? Because I'm worried about
you know, I love
it's shot clock violation anyway, Stardy. We got to go to break.
Yeah. We're up against it, as they say in the business.
You know, I don't want to hog the ball. I'd be called Russell Westbrook on this damn show. I don't like that label. Man, James Harden over here. You guys play me, man.
This guy doing reverse psychology.
Man, Fonte never liked Mike.
Okay, here's what's coming up on 95.7, the game brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Here's what I was thinking. We're always talking about you worried about Jimmy G. You know, is Jimmy G going to make a mistake? Is he going to make a mistake that hurts you? Well, is it going to be Kyle Shanahan? Maybe we should worry about Kyle Shanahan in big games like we do Jimmy G. Mm. What is that crazy? I don't know. Hey, whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
By the way, the last song of the last break was not Hall & Oates. It was a former host, very good gentleman named Chad Dewing. It was him singing Hall & Oates. good to have Pappas back on the board.
Yeah. We missed you.
And by the way, I'm going to get to 211 Steel Reserve. 211, what's going on, man? And don't think I didn't notice you hung up yesterday. You hung up after you were on hold for, what, 3 minutes? You couldn't?
Can't do it.
That's too long? 3 minutes is too long for you to be on hold?
Diva tendency.
All I'm saying is the Altima pass, bro. That's all I got to say. They drop, and by then I was already home, brother.
Gotcha. I spent a little time at the Altamont Pass on Saturday.
Hey, I don't think on the Kyle Shanahan thing, I don't think the dude's getting too big for himself because he's got his dad. His dad is up there. He's in the mix, and he's, you know, he goes to him for wisdom, I believe, and I don't think his dad would allow him to get like that. They come from a pretty good pedigree of coaches. So check this out. Niner fans, I hate to say this, they shouldn't feel bad. That was a damn good game. I would love to see it on the level playing field with no rain, see what that looks like. But, it was a good game, man. I don't know, man. I just the game time decision stuff, though, it is troubling. I would be worried. But if I was the Niners, you better take care of business this week because home field and that bye week are very important, brother.
Do the Raiders have a run in them?
No, and I'm ready to turn the page. I'll tell you right
now. On who?
Derek Carr?
Because it ain't going to be Gruden.
On big time, because you know what? I'm tired of people saying that he has no receivers. No doubt he's got no receivers, but that doesn't explain why he's throwing to defenders, why he's not escaping the pocket, and why he's not dinging the ball instead of floating it. He needs to quit playing basketball and, you know, doing that stuff he's doing in the summertime on the pool, shooting the hoops.
Oh, yeah. You got to play
ball,
hoops.
Run.
Nah, you got to play hoops, 211.
Play hoops, I'm not with a football.
Hey, Rick Mount used to play basketball with a tennis ball. He used to shoot it into a peanut container. Helped his rotation.
Bro, but you're floating the football. It's going to go up to the ground. Another thing, you think the Niners gave Marcus Peters a game ball?
that's right. That's what you wanted to talk about yesterday. And I was sorry I didn't get to you. Deebo Samuel making him look bad. And then... what was the run where he wanted no part of Mostert where he could have stopped him for a first down? Is that what you're talking about, my man?
Yeah, that dude, like, man, that's
that
a football player, man.
Thanks, 211.
They had him on Kittle a few times.
Marcus Peters.
Kittle, like a Niner.
Watt contact. Yeah. He's not. No,
he's
that's
from the town, though. So you
which is surprising,
life.
And I don't want anybody from the town coming up to our studios checking us on Marcus Peters. We like
I want
Marcus
some
Peters,
smoke.
But we see some things sometimes.
Not that type.
The first time in L.A., George Kittle was coming down the scene. You don't want none of that.
Raiders currently eighth seed, starting one game back of Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. So
you think they're going to go to the AFC title game?
The opposite of yes.
Okay, here's a scenario for you.
It was AFC championship. Maybe you can get a wild card.
We're up in Seattle, last right. game of the year.
Oh, boy.
Actually, you know what?
The roadie.
Let's do something else.
Yeah.
Let's
do something else. Why you want to do that to me, Stein? Why you saw the meltdown in the text thread. Wow. I was having a meltdown yesterday.
49ers, here's the way we're going to do it. 49ers, they go in as a wild card, and they go to Philly or Dallas and win.
All right.
Then they go to New Orleans and win.
All right.
Then they got to go back to Seattle.
Then they go back to Seattle.
Oh,
right? And they're in a barn burner up in Seattle. It's not a defensive struggle like 10-7, but it's 21. It's what's the score? It's 24-21.
Uh-oh.
And Garoppolo's got the ball at the 19-yard line. They're on
Jimmy G
with a minute 40 left and two timeouts. Who are you more worried about there, Garoppolo or Shanahan?
Oh, Garoppolo.
Stidey.
What?
Garoppolo.
Jimmy G.
What? Oh, yeah. What? I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it play out.
Kaepernick.
Who's going to cost them that game?
Oh,
Garoppolo.
Man.
Garoppolo.
You know what? Now, you know what I mean, though. Who do you have more confidence in? Like,
yeah.
Kyle. Because you got him down there already. Because I'm going to say something.
That's a great question,
this
man.
This is another rat on the table. I love Jimmy G, and I'm rooting for him. And a turnover is a damn turnover, Stoney. But when you get hit, and I know it was wet conditions, those are game-changing turnovers. So now it ain't about the interception. if he gets sacked, is the ball going to come out? And there's been many quarterbacks, Bont, that you know, Dave Craig, that just got that ability to, when they get hit, at the most inopportune time, that ball will come out. I'm not calling them Craig, but Dave I'm Craig. Worried about not Jimmy's interception, that too, but the fumbles when he gets hit, fellas.
I got caught up in Garoppolo mania.
I don't know, man.
I can leave with one turnover.
I can leave with one turnover.
In the rain.
I'm just seeing it play out, and you know what? In that situation, I could see somebody like Emmanuel Sanders or George Kittle fumbling in a game like that because weird things happen in Seattle.
That's
weird things happen. Oh, I'm telling you, but I bet you you meet 10 Niner fans walking down the street right now. You say, what you think about Week 17 against Seattle or the NFC Championship game in Seattle?
No longer the Legion of Boom.
No, but so what? It's Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And the memories, the nightmares of playing up there and getting blown out so many times. Oh, I'm petrified, scared. I don't even want to watch that game. I'm watching with a blanket over my head.
But this is the kind of thing where I do think you realize that, you know, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson was a coach and a quarterback on a certain level with a certain amount of experience, and Shanahan and Garoppolo are a coach and a quarterback with different. And it's like ideally, this is going to be the first of many kind of playoff runs for Shanahan and Garoppolo. So
we hope,
like, over the course of time, they're going to have to win games. You know, like, they haven't done it yet. And like, I know think about how much time we've talked about Garoppolo in the first 10, 12 weeks. Is he good enough? Is he the real deal?
They trust him?
Oh, he's just a product of a great defense. He's a game. Here's what I'm saying. Shanahan, to me, hasn't proven any more than Jimmy Garoppolo's proven in terms of
who are you
how to win big games and win tough
that's fair.
Games.
No, that's accurate.
The bigger the game,
Stein,
the more we get to look and react to that. Just like what were you doing before half? That wasn't Jimmy. That was the coach. And it comes with the territory, Steiny.
Right.
But now we are able to see if the Super Bowl, when he was coordinator, is something that's just in his DNA.
I you know what? Thinking about it, I lean Shanahan ever so slightly because he's
I'm shocked.
He's been in bigger as a he's a coach's son. He's around his dad. He's got more experience than Garoppolo.
Garoppolo's got rings.
He's got rings from standing on sitting on the sidelines. Rings still got the jewelry. It's two. Yeah, I mean, you just see Garoppolo in Seattle with that crowd roaring. Him just making a Jimmy Ohno throw.
Because he almost Sunday.
It happens every game, fellas. It happens every game. It's just when it's going to happen, the Jimmy Ohno throw. And usually after the Jimmy Ohno throw, he becomes a bit better. And he was a bit better in Baltimore on Sunday after a couple Jimmy Ohno throws. But Seattle, crowd roared.
Hey, no,
Staley tried to block Clowney. Oh, man.
He don't want no part. Well, you
want no part of that smoke. No part of that smoke.
Got to win out, Stein.
There's not a Niner fan on planet Earth who wants that smoke in Seattle. There's not one. I dare a Niner fan to tell me that they're confident on winning in Seattle. Something that hasn't happened since Harbaugh was his first year as a head coach with the 49ers. Nobody has confidence when it comes to playing Russell Wilson, because it's always like in the back of your mind, it's like, you know a play is coming. You know he's going to make a play. Kind of like Brett Favre in the 90s.
They got to own it.
They do.
Niners.
I think
And you know what? That's interesting. What did you say? They're 4-14?
4-14 since Seattle moved back into the NFC West.
See, if to me, and you apparently can't, and I get it, if you throw out all that history, I absolutely think the 49ers can go up there and win a game.
Minnesota almost did it.
But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. If you've got a track record like that,
it's mental.
And I'm sure Kyle Shanahan will say, well, I've only coached two games up there.
Right.
So you know how that goes. But
it's like the Steelers going to Foxborough. It's like Peyton Manning going up to Foxborough playing the Patriots in the cold. And it's like, here we go again.
Time and time again. Jimmy and Kyle,
they haven't felt, but right. Yeah,
they're
I hear
be
you.
Like, hey, Snotty, that record ain't on me. This is our first, man.
Kirk is in Campbell. What's going on, Kirk? How you doing, man?
Hey, great show, guys.
Thank you
for having me on.
Sure.
You guys just talked about it. I'm concerned about Joe Staley. If you look at our loss to Seattle, it was Joe Staley coming back from an injury. So now we're going up against New Orleans with Jordan, I'm scared if Joe Staley comes back. You know, school and Bronskill, they've been doing a good job. So it's like they need to look at that. And second thing is with Seattle, they're awesome with second half adjustments. The first half, they could be blown out. We see it time and again. After halftime, they come out. Somehow they have magic in there, and they come out and they win the game. Mm. We almost need to have two different game plans, one for the first half and the second for the second half. We need to lay it on them all 60 minutes. So good show, guys.
Thanks, Kirk. Appreciate the call.
And they made adjustments at half yesterday. I was like, this could be an L that nobody expected.
They came out in that third quarter like gangbusters.
And how do you call what the cojones to call the fake punt?
Oh, man.
You know,
Ida, you got to be a gambler, what? Man.
I mean,
that didn't work.
No, you know, I mean,
all hell.
You want me to be honest?
Yeah, I'm listening.
I what a time to call it. You're up two scores. They did it when they were up 10. So it's like, is it gutsy? Yeah, but it's like, it's the perfect time to be gutsy.
Right.
Mm. And I'm not taking any, like, I'm not saying it.
Because momentum was shifting.
It was.
Minnesota got a big stop.
Old Mo was
but credit, Seattle didn't score on that drive, but they were able to take some time off the clock. They end up turning it over, but it just sit. What that does to a football team, it energizes you. It's like, our coach is going for it. We like that.
But
like,
that's what I'm
saying. But you know what else it does, too, why it's a perfect time to do it, is because, again, if you don't get it, you're still up 10.
Yep.
You're still up 10, and, like, the message still works, right, even though you didn't get it. Like, the only reason you go for it there or fake it is because you know – deep down, you're thinking, you know what? If we don't get it, we're still up 10. We're going to win the game. Like, that's the only way you go for it. If you think, you know what? We don't get it here, and we may lose. Well, then you don't do it. But it did show total confidence in his team, and, like, it was a perfect time for it. 408 says, Bonte, I'm not confident going into Seattle. But sometimes you got to slay the dragon to overcome them.
There's no doubt.
Craig did Debo. No doubt.
And you know what?
I saw
Matt Mayoko from NBC Sports Bay Area.com tweeted out yesterday that NBC is looking at three games to flex for week 17. Texans, Titans, Steelers at Baltimore, Pittsburgh at Baltimore.
Maybe.
Niners at Seattle.
That's your answer.
It's going to be a night game probably in Seattle.
You don't know like, already.
I mean, how many primetime games have we seen Russell Wilson lose in Seattle? Hasn't been many, man. Hasn't been many at all.
But last year in the playoffs against Dallas.
Well, at home, though. At Century League Field. I mean, it's just different up there.
If you don't have confidence, says the 415, you've already lost. Well,
he's talking from the outside.
I'm sure the team will have confidence.
It don't matter.
Right, yeah, it don't matter. Bosa's going to have confidence.
Richard wants that game.
Right, but Russell Wilson, he runs around, and he gave the Niners fits running around. I get
special,
it.
Man.
They slowed him down. And another thing is they're big receivers now. DK Metcalf and Josh Gordon, not to get all technical here.
But they're problematic, man.
They run those slant routes. They go deep. Tyler Lockett didn't do anything yesterday. He still scored 37 points. I mean, this team is starting to click.
What's happened to Rhodes? Real quick from Minnesota.
Xavier Rhodes?
Yeah, he just,
dude, they read a stat. They said they're completing 82% of their passes.
Used to be a shutdown.
That's not good for the Minnesota Vikings. But we'll see. We'll see. And in Shanahan, we got to – this is where he makes his money, right? It feels like it's not Harbaugh-esque in a way because when Harbaugh didn't get it done in the Super Bowl, Jed York refused to give him a contract extension. But it just feels like if Shanahan and Garoppolo, if they don't get it done in the playoffs or if they don't beat Seattle and they don't win a division, they're one and done.
I'm with you here.
I'm thinking they're going to pause on Shanahan's contract extension because a month ago, everybody's like, it's time to rip up the contracts and give them new money. They may wait on that, depending on how the season plays out because of his game management skills and his clock management skills.
His game management skills are warts compared to what he's done and brought you from. Steiny, with thinking like that, it's like, you got to remember we were 4-12. I got you a playoff game, and now you're nitpicking on my tendencies.
I got news for you. When you're 12-4, it's not nitpicking anymore.
Wow,
if you're coach.
Man, you got, whoa.
I'm saying it. And then everybody's going to look at the schedule. Well, you were able to stack up eight wins because of the schedule. I don't know how they're thinking.
This is year three.
This is year three.
Of six.
Of six.
When they got six, the big news was, wow, they got six. Wow. That's more than anybody gets.
Right.
So now they're, I mean, here's my thing. Let's say, hypothetically, they make the playoffs and they lose their first game or they win a game and lose a game.
Right.
In other words, which isn't crazy. At that point, does Shanahan come to the table and say, hey, I want an extension? Because at that point, if I'm Jed York, I'm like, what do you mean? You got three more years. Let's talk about it next year. You know, I mean, three more years is still a long way.
Kyle doesn't get it.
It's a long way. It is a long way. And it may be an overreaction by yours truly, but I just think if they have a deep run in the playoffs, say if they end up in Miami, I could see Jed York saying, you know what? I made a mistake by not extending Harbaugh, even though it doesn't look like a mistake now. But that was the big sticky point. I got a coach that I can win with. I got a guy who knows how to design plays, and I have a young quarterback who's getting more and more experience on a team-friendly deal. Let me show them, like, hey, I want you here for the next 5 to 10 years, because having stability at the head coaching position and at the quarterback position is vital, man. And
but
I
three
get it.
More Dallas years on the contract, Monte.
Yeah,
that,
but he may want new money.
Come up again.
He may want new money.
Huh?
Let me tell you right now.
New money?
Well, if they win the Super Bowl, he can come and say, I want to rip that 3 years up.
So how does that go? I'm your...
Can we rip up the last 3 years of my contract
and
give me five?
Kyle?
No, you're right. I do.
What's the problem?
Well, I'm going to start looking elsewhere.
Oh, winning was the last.
Wow. I mean, these guys play hard, but you think Kyle Shanahan, right, who's Mike Shanahan's son, plays nice? These guys are killers, man.
So the Texans,
they are
killers.
They are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
a 408, I'm not looking at a new head coach. I'm not looking for a new head coach. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be here. But it was just weird because before the season, we were saying, man, if the Niners struggle this year, going into year four, that seat's going to be blazing. And one of the big three is going to be gone, as you said.
Right.
Now John Lynch looks like, you know what? John Lynch looks like, oh, man, this guy can draft. He signs good free agents.
Sleeping good at night.
Sleeping very good at night. But I just wonder if Shanahan doesn't get it done in these big games. Because there was somebody floated it out. Maybe it was a rumor or whatnot. I don't know. But going into year four, he may want to say, you know what? I know there's 2 years left on a deal. I want to make that five. I want to make it five. I need, well, you know what? Give me an extension now.
If you win, then you would have all the leverage in the world. But
The other thing is, I think one of the most underestimated part of sports is how pro athletes, pro coaches, and GMs monitor what everybody else is making. It's huge. It's almost as big a point of pride as winning and losing. And I see this on the text line. Steiny, John Gruden got 10 years. You think Kyle Shanahan doesn't know that? You think every coach in the league doesn't know that?
I can handle my
Absolutely.
own business.
Absolutely. So I guess what I'm wondering is, can anything happen from here on out? I mean, 3 years and a 6 year deal makes it easy to say, let's just go into the fourth year and see what happens. No matter what happens, is there any circumstance? Let me ask you this. Is there any circumstance that could happen this year in which you would extend Shanahan and or Lynch or fire Shanahan and or Lynch? And my answer would be no.
And mine, before you answer, Bonte, is hell no.
Yeah, hell no. Hell
okay,
no.
So Shanahan, so they win the Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl. Shanahan goes, you know what? I want to go into my contract. Jed York's going to say, no, we don't do that here. You have three more years on her. I mean, I'm just saying
I think Jed York would be in such a euphoria mode, Stein. He'd be like, what do you want to do? This is what we got. But it sounded
No doubt.
But it sounded like there's a scenario or a fatal coaching flaw or situation that could rear its head. Let's say it's in the NFC Championship game and they botch it. Kyle botches it. Did you think it would supersede the fact that you're in the NFC Championship game? And, you know, he hasn't proven already that he's past that, I guess.
I hope so. And by the way, 209, too early, Bonte. There's players assigned. Salary cap has no factor in what the coaches get paid. That has nothing to do with anything.
See, I just wonder, and I just go back to Jed. You were talking about with Harbaugh, and I know there was friction there, and I don't want to go back to 2012 or 2013. But he's like, we hang Super Bowl banners here. We don't celebrate NFC West division titles. Wow. So is Jed York still that guy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because the fan base, if Shanahan does take this team on a deep run, I think he's deserving of an extension. Wow. Even if it's 3 years left on a deal, you're like, you know what? I want this guy here for the next 5 years.
If I'm Jed York, all right, and Shanahan comes to me after this year and says, I want you to re-up. I got 3 more years left, but I want an extension. If I'm Jed York, I'm saying pound sand. Your first extension came when we gave you a 6-year deal, not a 3 or 4 year deal like every other coach would have gotten.
I don't see, you're right, man. Yeah. So right that I don't see Kyle trying to say, hey, cash me out.
But you know what? York was in a situation during that time where you just fired Tom Sula after one season. You fired Chip Kelly after a season. And the reason why the John Lynch thing came out of nowhere is because I think John Lynch put a muzzle on Jed York. He goes, there's been a lot of leaks coming out of your organization over the last few years. Keep this quiet. Let's see if you can keep this quiet. And York and Lynch and Shanahan were probably like, look, you fired coaches after one season? We want stability. We want stability. We want 6. I know it's not common, but give us 6 because this is basically and so I don't think York had any leverage. Stability. He didn't have any leverage in the situation. He had to give him 6.
You're probably right. I think you are right. And because of that is why if I'm Jed York, I'm saying, really? With 3 years left, you're coming to me for an extension. Not two with 3. That to me would be a little greedy on Shanahan.
Yeah, it probably would.
It's funny how there's no leaks when you're winning, huh?
Yeah, everybody's shutting up. Everybody's shutting up about that.
And the fun,
winning with class.
It's so funny. Half the people on the text line, guys, what are you guys talking about? You're just stirring stuff up. It's like it's a 4-minute aside.
Come on.
But
hypothetical.
707 says if Kyle asks for an extension, he better get it. Jed York is the one who needs to learn a lesson from the Harbaugh situation too.
We're not saying Shanahan's on a hot seat. It's just something that popped in my head thinking about how York operates and how this franchise has been over the last 20 years.
What winning will do.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and we're talking about whether or not Kyle can win a big one. If we could trust Kyle Shanahan in big games. And I think for the most part you can, but what we've seen in the 2 losses is like, it's pretty alarming.
And if you think eyes are on you now, Kyle, wait till you get to your first playoff game.
We haven't even brought up Halloween right before halftime. At the 1-yard line, Shanahan goes for it, right? He goes for it. He runs a running play, but he gets bailed out because Kingsbury burns the timeout. And then Shanahan goes for it again, man. And he throws a pass. And it's like, are you sure you want to go for this? Like,
see, that's the stuff that can get you started. Stuff like that, though. You are right.
But the bottom line is it's 99%. Out. They're going to the playoffs.
Right.
And
playoffs?
I would say 99%. They're both just back next year working under the fourth year of their 6-year deals. 6-year deals. That sounds awfully, awfully nice.
I love it!
Man, I haven't said this in 9 years.
Wow.
Warriors stink.
They
stink.
How can you not? After last night, Monty Poole wrote something. Basically, I don't want to put words in Monty's mouth, but they missed an opportunity. Last night was wow.
There was once a radio guy in the Bay Area who said, it's one thing to stink, but it's even worse to stink and be unwatchable.
Ooh,
and the 49ers need to get some players. Gary Radnich, the legend.
You didn't know that? I kind of knew he was going Uncle Gary Radnich.
It's either Radnich or
Pete Frank.
No, he's dead.
Yeah, Rick Barry? Who are you?
No, Ralph Barbieri. One of those.
Legends.
All right, we come back, jump into a little Warriors, and why aren't you guys watching the Golden State Warriors when they need you most?
But the highlights.
Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it.
Now
like
back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru like on 95.7 The Game.
So, clean up a couple calls. Let's go to our main man, Antonio, in Oakland. What's up, Antonio? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Hey,
you
know, Antonio.
I still think the Niners are the best team in the league. You know, we had, what, 2 losses by 6 points. You know what I'm saying? 1 game, we didn't have to kill. You know, our field kicker missed both field goals, you know, field goal in each loss. You know, like now, this coming draft, we just like we drafted a punter in the fourth round, we got to draft a kicker maybe, you know, somewhere around that range. Now I value kickers so much, I'm not going to disrespect kickers no more. They are important. They are. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, the 49, I mean, that's the thing. But that's, see, and you know what? Let me ask you what you think about this. I mean, they had a great kicker last year. He's the same kicker as this year. He's just, like, I don't know. I mean, it almost feels like a kicker's just a roll of the dice.
Well, the thing is, last year he was good. This year he regressed. Like, last year I called him Robbie Red and Gold. This year I call him Robbie Silver, as in silver and black, like the Raiders. Terrible. But, yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Antonio, that was...
There it goes.
Thanks, Antonio. I appreciate the call. Like, I mean, I don't know what you can do.
That's pretty bad.
At kicker. I mean, you got to live and die with gold, I would think, at this point.
It's like Akers again. 2011 Akers breaks the field goal record. 2012 Akers can't hit the backside of a bar.
What's the biggest kick gold to make? That, in the way, the shenanigans that went with him getting his money.
Right.
You got to deliver. And I'm just saying, kickers, we've seen it. Scott Norwood, they can prevent you from getting the prize. And for anybody to tell me, and you say, well, Groove, what should they do? Steinig did yesterday. Should they have tryouts? I'm not saying that, but we should be biting our nails on a Niner kicking game.
If there was good kickers out there, a team would have had them. Because the Patriots have gone through like 4 kickers now after Goskowski's been
there. Dallas needs
They just
one,
cut
man.
A kicker yesterday. Yeah. Kai Forbath, the Patriots, did after shanking that extra point. I mean, kicking matters. I personally, fellas, I never believe in kickers. Gary Anderson was perfect. What'd he do against the Falcons that NFC Championship game?
Wow.
He misses a kick, and the Dirty Birds go to the Super Bowl. I personally never trust kickers.
Are we saying kicking is the biggest problem on the Niners right now?
No.
I'm not going there.
But
it's in your top three. Play calling, situational play calling, Jimmy under pressure on the road.
I would say health. Health is in that top three.
Speaking of health, Richard Sherman.
Yeah, spring.
You don't have him in the dome.
They're also getting 3 guys back against the Saints.
Yep.
Niner game.
Who we got coming back?
D Ford, Staley, and one more Steiny Breida, Matt Breida to Chief.
Oh, wow.
Let's go to Trey in Vallejo. Wants to quick talk Kyle Shanahan. What's going on, Trey? How are you, man?
Oh, man. You know, just chilling on this cool little day, you know.
Sure.
It's raining, so that's a blessing. You know?
I guess. All right.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a pretty good weather. But getting to Kyle Shanahan and this contract thing, you know what? I think York has to give it to him. If he comes in here and asks for it, you know, he may not be deserving of it. And, you know, and let me back the things up with Gruden. Gruden's a well-house established name. So we shouldn't even put him in the same house as Gruden.
All right.
Or any other coach. But if Kyle Shanahan wants a contract extension, we should definitely give it to him because, you know, as we can see, York was a joke when he had Tom Sula and Chip Kelly come in for after those years. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan brought respectability back to, you know, to the faithful. And I'll take your thoughts off air.
Now, hey, Trey, thanks for the call. Yeah, you are right about Gruden. I mean, that's a big name. That was a splash. Mark Davis wanted to make a splash. I don't want to keep going down this hole, but all I'm saying is, If the 49ers win a playoff game, I mean, winning the Super Bowl is a little bit different. But they win a playoff game, then lose, and Shanahan goes up to Jed York and say, hey, I'd like to talk about an extension. If I'm Jed York, I'd say, you got a lot of nerve.
No doubt. No
you got a lot of nerve coming into this season, 10-22, putting one playoff season together and now wanting more money. And, you know, for all we know, Kyle Shanahan would be listening and saying, what are these guys talking about? I'm not going to ask for extension.
Right. Yeah.
He
strikes
Super Bowl.
Me as that guy.
Right.
Yeah, you get that Super Bowl, you got that ticket.
But I know old Mike Shanahan, man.
Old Mike,
he was a stickler for his dollars. He was a stickler for his dollars. That's the Raiders too. Organization.
Yeah.
Mike, but they're about their cheddar.
At it, huh?
Hey, where are we with the 49ers? 49ers are 10-2. When are the Warriors going to get their 10th win? They lost 104-79 at Atlanta. Atlanta had a 10-game losing streak. Worst defensive team in the league.
Is this what we saw happening?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.